The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Ticket Stock. It's 12 o'clock. It is the fifth day of 2024 already. 5 days in, Johnny boy. You all right?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Feeling a bit rough, actually.
Indeed. Very going around.
People say, how are you doing? Fine, thanks. I used to listen to, years ago, an old BBC Radio Wales show, where a late night show, old guy, this guy used to come on, Chris Neves, and his audience were old people. And when he used to ask, how are you, on the phone, they used to tell him, you know, really in detail, old people, about their ailments. It's like sitting in a doctor's waiting room. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the markets. Bit of a tricky day in the markets today. It's not very nice. I mean, I think we've, you know, a bit of a fallout from the American markets. They've had a good run. Yeah, they're rolling over a bit. You know, bonds actually are also, bond yields are rising a bit. I'll show you that in a bit. But I mean, There we are. FTSE 100 down almost 1%. FTSE 250 almost down at 1.5%. AIM All Share down 0.85%. Rise today, WPP rising yesterday as well. I did say yesterday. Very telling, actually, is once these start to rally, the advertisers, maybe the recovery is on, you know, because...
they've been absolutely battered, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, yeah. That's Centrica, we got Fallers Mining Groups, Ocado down, John.
It behaves like a penny share, up and down.
Who knows what...
I will avoid using any another analogies.
Yeah. So the thing is, right, I said a while back, do you remember when, you know, the news was very gloomy? And by the way, welcome everyone if you just joined us. Thank you very much for joining us on this Friday afternoon, last one of the week. But if you could, hit that thumbs up button if you like the show, and don't forget to subscribe. It's very important, those metrics to us. I don't know if they are that important, really. But if you could, but what is very important is download the Vox Markets app, voxmarkets.co.uk/app. So, you know, a while back, let's go, I'm just looking at Bitcoin there, but I look at the bonds here, look at the bonds yields. So let's be honest, it isn't starting a downtrend, but for some reason, the last few days, maybe just, you know, technical bounce maybe, but they are rallying a little bit. And of course, when that happens, the markets tend to go down.
But it's risk off, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's risk off again. It's a very tricky time. I don't think anyone's really that sure what comes next. I mean... You know, we had some minutes from the Fed, and you know we are expecting some rate cuts at some point this year. You know, some economic data looks all right, but in some economic data looks awful. There's so much geopolitics to consider that I mean, you know, it's a very, very tricky time. What's going on in the Red Sea? You know, the obviously shipping has now been massively affected by these drone strikes on commercial shipping in the Red Sea, the Suez Canal. It's, you know, it's being essentially
why can't they just... Well, these guys are Maersk and all these people, all the big companies that are shipping through there, right? Why can't they just hire a couple of XSAS guys?
Well, they do. That's what they do do. But it's not enough. I mean, so yeah, you potentially got some more inflationary pressures building there. That will potentially come through later in the year. So, yeah, I mean, it's not... I mean, there was this thought that the worst is behind us, but I still think there's a lot of
uncertainty. The thing is, what you mentioned there, in fact, I don't know if you saw yesterday. I did say yesterday, I should have called the show A Tale of Two Retailers, because we had Next and JD Sports. Well, and, you know, Next came out barnstorming upgrades there, and JD blamed weather and the promotional items more sold and margins got hit. But Next, some of the Next warnings actually were about, now, we have to look at what the problems are. If the problem is rising unemployment and slowing growth, that's not bad. Central banks can deal with that, and that will bring inflation down. Now, if it's like Suez Canal, which they did mention, and they say, you know, it's an extra 3,500-mile journey around the Cape of Good Hope in Africa, if that's a rising price again, that's not what we want, because that's inflation. You know, we don't want that.
Spot shipping rates are, you know, I think they're up about sort of 150%+, you know, in the wake of this. Yeah, the other problem, you've got, of course, is the other side of the world. Panama Canal is struggling too. Hasn't got enough water in it. So, you know, if it doesn't rain... well, it's certainly pouring around here, or it has been.
But I was going to say, they could borrow some of our rain. Last night, me and the wife were outside last night, like idiots, trying to sweep water away from the patio, because it was come up towards our sort of bifold doors there, and it was going to the house. And so we were just sweeping away like crazy. I thought, what are we doing? We're like maniacs. Mm-hmm. But I thought, so I can't believe, and it seems to be happening more and more. But I'd say, The thing is, you know, central banks can stimulate growth by just dropping interest rates, but they, like I said, they can't really tackle inflation that effectively. It takes a long time. So if that starts going back up, that is a worry. But what's not a worry is what they want to happen is slow the economy down to bring prices down. But like I said, if it goes the way, they're in a bit of trouble there. But
yeah, it's the next numbers are interesting. You know, that was a big upgrade. But then, you know, what you've got to remember about next is that they always underguide. Always. You'd have thought the market would have worked this one out by now. It's been going on for a very, very long time.
That's what you want, though, isn't it? What you want a CEO, largely, you know, your AIM companies, the CEOs overpromise a bit and underdeliver. But you want a CEO that underpromises and overdelivers, don't you? That's what you want. And,
But it's what they always do. It's, you know, they always upgrade on the basis that, you know, they plan for the worst and deliver better. But, you know, it's clever. It's a trick in plain sight, and it works every time.
Yeah,
Next is a big retailer, so that, you know, there's obviously some life left in the consumer in the UK. Yeah, JD slightly worrying, but yeah. I see that potentially as an opportunity. I've spoken about that before. I like the company. Trainers will never go out of fashion. You know, yeah, there's some pressures at the moment, but those shares are going to get cheaper and cheaper. I don't even know what the rating is at the moment. Let's have a look. But I reckon they're sub 10 forecast PE. I would guess.
Yeah, no, but do you know what I said yesterday? When I was looking, you know, I love researching stocks. Mm. And so what I did a while back, a couple of years back, I looked at what are the best performing stocks for the last 5-10 years? And I looked into them, and JD Sports was one of them.
Yeah.
And in fact, Boohoo was one of them as well, as before the fire. But also Game Workshop was one of them. And essentially what they all have is that their top line growing was dropping through net profit, was growing by 20% every year, pretty much, you know? And so it's one of those star stocks you want a hold of. And when it comes back, you think, okay, let's keep an eye on this. Of course, you're never going to get the rise you had. Just before I go to the JD Sports chart quickly, that's the S&P 500, right, in America. And it is nuts. That's the all-time high ever in the S&P 500. And it's a smidge off it. I think they're literally getting a bit ahead of themselves with rate cuts, aren't they? I mean, it needs to roll over and come down a bit because I just think it's gone bananas. I know it's a lot of it, you know, 20% of that index is the Magnificent Seven. But
yeah,
Apple's
been thumped in the last few days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been downgraded, but because they're saying, you know, for a long time, you know, it's like how many more sort of iPhones can be sold? You know, because the incremental improvement in every iPhone is tiny. What is it? They do these massive 2-hour-long presentations, and essentially it boils down to the camera's a bit better and the battery's a bit longer.
Big tech is good at marketing.
I know. But what I do like is a services thing, because they do get you on the storage. And that's very clever, because, like I said, we've upgraded our storage on Google and Apple. And because, you know what, delete. You don't have to go through thousands of photographs or stuff one by one to save a couple of quid a month. You know, it's pointless. So you end up just saying, oh, I'll have 2 terabyte rather than 1 terabyte. And there's a couple of extra quid. But you get like hundreds of thousands of people doing that, you know, every month. And it adds up, doesn't it? The services element is very good. So anyway, JD Sports for that. So like I said, a big uptrend here. And it's come from like 2 pence to 2 quid, something like that, in the last 5-10 years. So it's an amazing return. You're never going to get that return again. But like I said, it's a good running company, and we'll see where it goes. But it's in a bit of a tricky situation.
Bear in mind also, I mean, this goes back to, you know, the market is not the economy, you know. This is a big company. This is FTSE 100, you know, and that profit warning took 20% off the shares. You know, the impact of the economy is not yet in the price of all of these shares, for sure.
Yeah, do you think it's going lower? Yeah.
Well, it's just I don't buy this argument that everything, you know, everything that we can expect economically, recession wise. And the impact on individual companies is in the price of companies. That would suggest otherwise, that big sell-off, that gap there. Look at it.
Yeah, no,
everyone by surprise.
We've said before, though, haven't we? If you, I think if you are consumer-facing, you've got to be careful. There's going to be, and like I said this, you know, for a while now, I can't see people spending this year like they did last year, when they've got, you know, cost of living carries on. And like I said, regardless of, you know, the rumour of interest rates coming down, you know, I think it's 1.6 million are going to go into higher mortgages this year, you know? And they're starting to, and regardless, they may be a little bit lower than they were going to be, but they're still high. You know, a lot of people are on like 2% mortgages. They're still going up to 5%, 6%, something like that. So that's going to be a big cut. And so I think I said yesterday, really, you know, 101 basic economics. When you have something like JD Sport now selling less, pretty much, and people being laid off, maybe not spending, well, they'll lay people off, and that'll be a downward cycle. So you always find downturns, you know, accelerate a little bit in the real world. So if you are facing, and you've got to be really sector careful. You know, has it been sold off?
Yeah.
Is it priced in? The house builders, it was priced in. I think they have a role of it. They've valued it crazy. That's what I said before. The house builders, when everyone was so, you know, saying, oh, this awful, awful. Taylor Wimpey is rallied by 84% since the low. That's, you know, it's phenomenal. And so it's almost like when you have this, this is all the bad news. This is why we're doing this today, pretty much, because, you know, let's look at another unloved sector.
But this one, I don't buy this, all the bad news, because JD's profit warning would suggest otherwise.
No, I know, but you've got to be sectors. Let's be honest, for 2 years they've been going down, you know, this house builders, pretty much. So, you know, you've got to say it has sort of been priced in a little bit, because it's 2 years of down, whereas JD Sports really hasn't gone down for 2 years. It probably needs a bit more. But yeah, you, as always, you've got to be sort of... But so what we said is, let's have a look at another sector where seemingly there's no optimism there.
Sorry, just going back to JD Sport. But another thing, if you actually looked at that chart, you know, there's been the performers over the last calendar year, you know, up until the profit warning, was spectacular. And that's something we've seen across...
it hasn't. Look.
Yeah. Go from late 22. Late 22
yeah,
to late 23. You know?
Yeah.
So after the sell-off, cost of living crisis. Down to late 22, October 22, you've had a spectacular recovery since then. The shares have doubled.
Oh, yeah, but they're still even down from the high, like 20%.
Well, yeah, but that was the whole sector sell-off during the cost of living crisis. What you've actually seen is that the whole sector has had a big boost as well from a massive fall in container rates, from shipping costs, from logistics. Now, you know, and going back to what we're talking about with what's going on in the Suez Canal, the Red Sea, you know, that tailwind is now potentially becoming a headwind again for this sector. That wasn't in the price.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what's funny as well? Just, you know, going down to what's his name? One up on Wall Street. These shirts, right, from Next. I don't even realise I'm shop from Next. That's how good Next are, really. I mean, you know, you just get something. They're always quite reliable. In fact, we went to, you know, Cardiff for Christmas to meet some friends there. And we ended up going into Next. My wife bought some trousers and all that stuff. And I said, J.D. Weatherspoon yesterday. I said, profit warning. And she said, surprise, they're very expensive.
J.D.'s
cool. And so it's very expensive. Yeah, that's the first reaction. But Next is always quite reliable. Quite reasonable and good quality. You know?
Yeah, got it.
They're
class acts. Anyway, yeah, sorry, I digress.
Anyway, so the sector we're looking at today, what do we say? It was this unloved sector. Will it rally like the house builders? In fact, let's see if there's any comments here first. Oh, lots of comments. There we are. Sorry. Comment, by all means, get involved. That's the point of the live show. Mike Berry says, been thinking about Destiny Farm RNS yesterday. I like that, Mike. It's over 24 hours, isn't it? Destiny attending the JP Morgan Healthcare Conference next week. Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday. So the RNS ensures that they're in the shop window ahead of the event. Go on.
Do you know what I think I've noticed today, actually, if you look at the full list of you know, movers and shakers on the index, the big moves today, a lot of them are all in the healthcare sector.
Yeah.
So you've got a massive Trellis Health, Renewon, M4 Pharma, C4X Discovery.
Do you know, I've got this fancy stocks shares league. I looked yesterday, I thought it was a glitch with the website, because someone doubled their money yesterday.
Angle,
PLC. So, but by the way, if you want to join in, by all means, championinvestor.co.uk. But literally, I thought it was a glitch. I thought it's like some kind of share consolidation that had gone on, and it hadn't. He just basically, a day before, Angle came out with their results, he ploughed all his money into it, and so he doubled his money.
That's amazing. Do you know what? You could have actually made a lot of money on the day yesterday. It's actually worth having a look at this chart, because it's very unusual.
Yeah,
you have to look at the angle chart.
AGL.
Because you know, they have some sort of trial success.
Yeah.
Look at the one day chart.
Yeah, yeah.
This is very, very odd. Because what seemed to happen was, you know, the news came out, it's very positive. Not that I understand it, this is a very science-led company, and I the science is beyond me. But actually the chart, you know, it just ticked up all day. So I looked in the morning, it was up about 30%. Looked at lunchtime, it was up about 60%. By the end of the day, it was up 150 or 100, whatever. It's insane.
Well, I checked on the site. So when did this guy buy this? And he literally, but on the third, it was the day before. There's no better time than that. Yeah. It's like, I can't get time information or
you
what?
You could have made some fabulous money on this injured day yesterday, because, as I say, just kept climbing. Usually you just get a boom and then a sort of trickle along, but this was a hell of a move. But then if you look at the long-term price, it's really moving, you know, that 130%.
Well, look at that.
In the grand scheme of where it's been, it's tiny.
Even now, it's still not above sort of, 2023 January, start of the year. It's been going down for the year, but it's a nice rally there.
Why the whole sector's moving, I'm not entirely sure. There is a lot of good news coming out of UK healthcare,
exactly.
UK biotech.
C4XD came out with a upfront milestone payment from AstraZeneca, 11 million. Renewron's rallying. I think it's just in sentiment. A lot of these, look at them, a lot of them rallying today.
Yeah, but I mean, the C4XD news was 2 days ago. That's what I mean. It's a trend. Yeah. It's becoming entrenched as a trend. And there's a lot of good news coming out of this sector. It's really bombed out, and it's worth a look, I would suggest.
Exactly. There's other sectors bombed. I mean, you know, like I said, they are higher risk because these are literally, you know, pre-revenue, pretty much stocks. I mean, if you look at these, these are literally been hammered for like years. And to that kind of timing yesterday, the guy going on the day before yesterday, phenomenal. What? So I don't know how he did that, but even though, if you held that,
sometimes you get lucky, don't you?
Yeah, C4XD, if you'd held that, look at it. I mean, down for years. I held that back in the day. I really liked it, but then literally it's just gone down and down. Of course, they're burning a lot of cash, these companies. Well, it depends what company it is, but most, you know, preclinical or clinical study biotechs have to burn cash to develop programs. Sorry, let me just quick. So Destiny Pharma there, Mike Barry, yes. RBG, Mr. Cedars, figures haven't been taken very well today.
We'll come on to them in a minute.
We'll have a look at that. Yeah, they are shutting down some bars and stuff. They're not profitable, which is a good thing, but it does smack of negative sentiment a little bit. Riffisoft says, I sold Croda this morning. I thought they were a quality company. I should have sold a while back. I think I'm slowly getting better at selling. Yeah. Mm. If you got a company of that, I think sometimes cut fast, really. Mr. D, Panama Canal having low water level issues yet, unlike my patio. great to see Cautious Bear, John, and Dirty Tray. Informer's having a go at me, right? Informer, stop having a go because you're into Bitcoin and crap coins, and I had a go at them yesterday. I think it collapsed. Now you're having a go at me. You know, it's like, I'm not a dirty trader. I literally hold stocks for at least one day. if you look at stocks I hold, I've owned stocks for Truefin, for example, over 3 years. I've had Destiny Pharma over a year, haven't I? So it's like, that's not trading, is it? But if I make a mistake, I'll get out. If I think I made a mistake, I will get out quickly. Should we worry that both of you, John, live on floodplains?
I don't live on a floodplain. It's what's happening here is that there's basically so much water in the ground that it can't take any more, and it's flowing off of farmers' fields. Farmers are not maintaining their ditches because there's no enforcement by the...
Are you hearing this, farmers? Maintain your ditches.
Maintain your ditches and give the water somewhere to go, because at the moment it's just going onto the roads. It's absolute carnage.
Justin wears Crocs. He's prepared for floods. I literally was outside yesterday.
I got wellies.
I had my ankles in water and my Crocs. It was right. My feet were cold when I came in. No, I tell you that now. Let's look at this sector here, John. So this sector is leisure, isn't it? Now, I'm sorry, I can't pump the picture up any further, but we've got Mitchell's and Butler, Weatherspoon, Young & Co. Brewery, Fuller Smith & Turner, Loungers, Marston, City Pub, various eateries. I need to think about specifying that brand a bit better.
Yeah, eateries. I can't remember what I do.
It's eating, I think, food. Hostmore, Revolution Bars, Nightcap, that's what I was trying to think of. Nightcap's got a bit of debt as well. I mean, bars do tend to have a bit of debt. I had to cut the short this picture on, but because I couldn't fit on the screen. But if you look at debt sorry, I'm not sharing the screen. What the hell am I doing here? I do apologise. There we are. So there they are. Let me try and pump this up if I can, but I can't.
Don't worry. It's a lot of data on here. It's not really a screen so much as a sort of collection of KPIs.
So essentially, what would you go for there? I mean,
I would actually go for lounges.
You've highlighted
lounges. We've spoken about it before, and you know, actually, if you look down this list, so there's various metrics on here. Yeah. So, you know, what we're looking at is performance. So there has been a rally in the sector, certainly aspects, parts of the sector already. So, you know, if you look, you know, City Pub is the best performer, but that's been taken out or being taken out. You've got Mitchells and Butler doing very well. It's going to restrict my sector to the subsector.
Look, so Mitchells and Butler. All right. Yeah, look at that. That's look at that. You can see there straight away, just whack on a 200 moving average. You won't catch the bottom 200 moving average, but it'll show you the just general trend.
Yeah.
Of and literally a nice rally there from the bottom there.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, not the whole sector hasn't performed. So, you know, you've got some companies that have not done so well. They tend to be in the food sector.
What about JD Wetherspoon?
Wetherspoon's done very well this year. Wetherspoon's up 80-odd% this year.
Well, maybe we're a bit late on this, then. We're a bit late on this sector, John. We need a sector that's hammered.
Not necessarily. Because
it's rolled over a little bit. But it hasn't. It's doubled. From the
but if you go back to that long picture, that long view, you know, it's way below where these shares have traded at in the past.
Yeah,
if you then look at the spreadsheet, that you know, and you should be able to hopefully blow the image up when you have a look at the page. You know, a lot of them are still trading below their book value.
Yeah.
So you know, there's a lot of intrinsic value left in these companies to be had. So you know, you look at Mitchells & Butler, that's trading at 70% book value. You look at Young.
So this column here, 23. That's a share price performance so far.
In 2023. Yeah, that was last year.
Price to NAV. Oh, look at the price to NAV. Yeah, look at that. So I want a good performer that hasn't done really well. So
you've got some
Marston's.
Yeah, Marston's. You've got some value. You've got some value there.
They've got a lot of debt there. 730. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is where you've got that balance. And the net debt to market cap gives you a feel for where that price to NAV is offset by debt.
Look at Revolution Bars Group. Oh, my word. I mean, we understand bars have debt, but that is ridiculous.
That is a lot of debt, and that is why they'll be closing underperforming outlets. Christmas numbers were decent. You know, Christmas trading was decent, but they don't make, you know, and 1 month doesn't make up a whole year. You know, we saw, actually, there were some numbers, let me just find these, from a private company.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at a market cap, then just, I mean, you know, it's good for a quick glance market cap, but you have to really look at the EV.
Because, of course,
that factors in cash and debt. And then you find the EV. Is the EV on that thing? In fact, look at that.
Well, I haven't put EV, but you've got EV to EBITDA as a
yeah, where's that thing? Where's the EV EBITDA on there?
That's sort of two-thirds of the way across. But yeah, there were some numbers out from a private company called Amber Taverns. They reported 20% like-for-like sales up over Christmas, of which around sort of half, a little bit less, was price. So the good, strong Christmas, you know, as we suspected, but it doesn't make up for the previous 5 months and possibly the months to come. It's very tough.
I've cut off the things there. Are there any of those there, I don't know if you can tell, where I have sort of better margins than other ones?
There's an operating margin. Oh, what have I done with the operating margin?
Oh, sorry, I've got to cut you off on my screen because it wouldn't fit. It was like too thin.
Right.
It went too small, the text.
Tell you now that the highest margin pub is Marston's.
Is it?
Yeah.
Marston's.
Brighton Pier is an interesting company. It owns Brighton Pier and some other assets. That's a decent margin business. Had a bit of a tough time. Lately, Young's 14%, Loungers 8%, but Loungers, I would say, is in a growth phase. So that kind of makes sense. So you know, it's not a mega margin industry, but it's you know, you've got some that are better than others. You know, look at you know, various Tasty, which are these sort of small restaurant chains. They're loss making. Revolution Bars margin is less than 5%.
Yeah.
Wetherspoon's low margin as well, but we know why, because it's a, you know, pilot high, sell it cheap model.
It's a Loch Ness Monster. that's Lounge's chart.
And you want to see some growth. So we want to see you know, EBITDA rising, we want to see turnover rising, we want to see EPS rising. Ideally we want them to be profitable. I've included a debt adjusted PE in this, you know, to actually take into account the fact that it's a very debt driven sector. But the one that jumps out at me is, I keep coming back to it, is Lounge's.
Yeah,
their debt, net debt to market cap. So debt is 60% of the market cap. So very manageable. Fuller's the same. Very good pub group. They didn't blow the lights out in terms of share price performance last year. So I think there's room to go with both of those companies. Lounger's very expansive. I like the offering. I've been there a couple of times, love it.
I think I may have been to one. I don't know if I have. I don't know if they're in Basin Stoke. I don't know if I have. I don't know.
No, they'll be everywhere. But not cheap. Let's say growing, fast growing.
What's different about the Lounger's? Under control. What's different about them?
It's just really good. It's just, you want to go somewhere to where you're bored of. Pub menus are so bland. They're always the same. Burger and chips, or sausage and mash, or whatever it might be, fish and chips. And Lounger's just does it a bit differently.
Really sell dogs as well. That's it.
Really nice. I mean, really well designed restaurants. It's very, very competitively priced as well. I think it's a very good company. Tough sector.
They got 236, 230. Yeah.
Not massively penetrated into the UK. So there's a lot of room for growth there. I pick them out. Fuller's as well, but it is a very good business. But Lounger's is my pick of the sector, and I think there's a lot of room to go.
So look at where they are. They're everywhere.
They're not everywhere. There's a lot of places where they're not.
There are some around me, but some out something here.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's your local one then? Up here somewhere. Where is it?
Malden is where I was living, but that's and they've just opened one there, which I hadn't seen before I moved. It's just east of England, very underpenetrated, but we're always underwater, so who wants to be in the east of England? Norwich. Why they've got nothing in Norwich, I don't know.
Take your thing into the pub. RBC made some comment about their skint younger punters today. Oh, did they? That's interesting.
That's behind the JD problem,
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's going to continue, isn't it? That's the thing. I mean, if it is one of these, I think holidays is a different thing. People tend to save for holidays, but I mean, I think sometimes when you can't pay the mortgage or the rent, maybe you will skip a frivolous night out, So you think, net debt 18.3.
I'm not sure. I think people like going out. I think what people might do is not have a, endless stack of trainers to choose from when they do decide to go out, People have shopped maniacally for a long, long time. There has to be a slowdown. It has been crazy. They were talking about JD Sport at the moment. But that's why I say, let's watch this pullback and then I'll have some of that, because that trend will continue again. In the meantime, I think the spending shifts to leisure, and I think there are some in the leisure sector that are better positioned than others, particularly when it comes to their indebtedness.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I said to Paul yesterday, and I keep saying it all the time, I said we had a little rally of a Christmas period. I do think we're in now for a sticky period for maybe a quarter, And then I think if central banks are indicating rates coming down because, people not spending, the economy's slowing massively faster than they think, then maybe that'll happen. But of course, they'll only do that because the economy's in a bit of trouble. And if the economy's in trouble, that means inflation will come down. If people are not spending, demand isn't there, inflation will come down, full stop. But like I said, it's because we're in a bad place. But the markets then will think, okay, here we go. And then maybe second, third, fourth quarter, I don't know, but I think it'll be a good year for markets. But I think we'll have a sticky period in the first quarter or so. And I'm holding some cash because I believe there will be another good buying opportunity not far away.
I understand. Agree. I haven't deployed anything recently apart from Angling Direct was the last of it. But
cash.
A couple of ideas. Missed the first opportunity, but I'll wait for a little pullback and buy them when they do that.
There we are. Moving nicely. That series of highs and lows. It's getting there. It's getting there.
Yep. Oh, we had a comment that told us why that we'd had that nice move up over Christmas.
Lawrence. Ken Watton.
Ken Watson made it one of his tips of the year in a Daily Mail column. Gresham House.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Geopolitical politics will hold the stocks down short term. There's a lot of elections as well, actually, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot of uncertainty on the political
front. 40 to 70 elections on the world of
it's madness.
But I think March will see an upturn. Yeah, do you know what I was thinking this day? Now, Sunak came out with end of the year or back end of the year for an election, and I think there's a budget before that, isn't there? March budget. I think they literally unleash the every kind of spending incentive to get the economy going again in that budget. I think they really will, because it's his last ditch attempt. So, and also generally, April is very bullish as well, because you've got end of financial year, ISAs and all that stuff. So I think March, April, it just suits the end of the quarter. I think we'll have a good, you know, he'd want to get some votes. He'd want to do everything to get some votes, Sunak.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting that inflation went up in France and Germany, same as the UK. Choppy waters for all, I think. S&P shook a high. Yes, Bill. RBG makes some comment. Yeah, we did say that. Oh, by the way, let's go back to that quickly. So they do say here, say, best festive season of all. However, our younger customers are still feeling the disproportionate effect of the cost of living crisis, and the national living wages will increase materially in April 2024. What do you mean, and? Therefore,
it means that they've got to pay more to their staff. So you know, get you know.
Sorry. I was thinking that the customers had an increase in their wages, but yeah, right. So they've shut down bars. Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Yeah. So that, I mean, again, that's sort of like the container effect I was talking about in retail. You know, the wage effect in leisure is problematic for this sector.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there we are. Maybe time to add a good Christmas. Maybe, like I said, sell off some or get rid of some loss-making companies. Barry Shuzon, due to report on Monday, shares starting to drift. It's on a PE under 12. Free cash flow much higher than earnings. CapEx is about to drop, and it's growing. Cash machine. It's cheap shoes. Economy.
Nice company.
Yeah, they've done very well.
They have specifically spoken about this in their reports, that the falling container costs, shipping costs, has been very, very helpful to them over the past year. So that's just something to watch out for. It won't show up in these numbers, but it's something to watch out for, you know, over the next year.
Not joking. Did I say I'll have to go in a range for a little bit there? It's gone in that range because it's risen. You've got that a lot. It'll go in a range for a while. It can be frustrating if you're holding a range for a long time, but do they pay a dividend? I don't know if they do.
They do.
Oh, okay. Well, there we are. Not too bad. You're being paid to hold the shares. It's not a bad thing. Anything else here? MAB had a super 2023. Does people costs, food costs, energy costs worry you with loungers, John? Does that worry you? Food costs, people costs?
It's definitely a consideration. But, you know, running the numbers over the sector, you know, it's managing. What is a difficult time on the cost front, you know, on the sort of cost of living front. It's developing an offering that will help it take market share, and I think that's all you can ask for at a time like this.
Yeah, AI invested lounge breakfasts are superb. They have customers in throughout the day, night, plus the planning of their outlets is very scientific. Is it really scientific?
Yeah. I think it's you know, execution par excellence in the leisure sector.
Yeah. Okay.
Why haven't I bought them yet?
Because it'll come down with sentiment, you know, they will come down with sentiment, probably. There we are. Here's some business stories. House prices rise for the first time in 8 months. In fact, it's all somewhere else. It's the third month in a row, but obviously different metrics. I don't know how they're getting that. But this is Halifax, 1.7% higher in December. Also, the slump it's still contracting. These are house builders' PMIs. And it rose to 46.8, still below 50, you know. But at least it's up from 45.5, so it's not as bad. But I often question when it's that much of a rising, is that accurate? It's still contracting, you know. But anyway, they're saying maybe you're seeing the bottom of the slump in construction. And Starmer refuses to comment to unfreezing tax thresholds if Labour wins the election. But he said he would. What do you say there? It will reverse the changes to inheritance tax. There we are.
I think you mentioned that Sunak wants to delay the election to have a sort of giveaway budget.
Yeah.
But I think the other reason he's delaying the election because Starmer, essentially, I feel the Labour Party had an open goal on this election. And, you know, the more he says, the more he looks like missing it.
Exactly. And I just think...
Give him enough rope.
Exactly. And also, it is his goal to miss. You're right, that. It's like, you know, it's like a penalty shootout with no goalie.
Don't go to Brighton and pose on the beach by the sea. I don't know if you remember what old Kinnock falling into the sea. That was the end of that.
But you know what I do feel? I do feel like, you know, being opposition is largely like being, you know, an armchair coach. you know, looking at your football team. It's easy shouting from the sidelines, isn't it? You know, it's really easy. But when you actually put on the pitch or you have to coach and you don't get the results you want, it's a bit different then. Pressure comes on. And Starmer seems like this kind of guy. It goes with sentiment. It doesn't seem strong enough to make unpopular decisions. That's what you need to do sometimes. And I think, you know, it's easy him just shouting from the sidelines. But when you get in the power, we'll see how they do, because it's not that easy.
I think this election would be one, I have to say, by the party that can actually make people believe that they will deliver what it takes to make them feel
best liars.
Better off.
Yeah, who's the best liars? That's it. Politicians are all liars. Who is the most convincing liar? That's what it comes down to.
This one's all about living standards. I'm absolutely sure of it. This is a lecture about living standards. People are fed up feeling the squeeze.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like that. Just even down, I was listening to Wake Up to Money, walking the dog this morning. I listened to Wake Up to Money and that last budget about national insurance reduction, you know? I think, yeah, but you've frozen the tax thresholds, you know, so fiscal drag. So a magician would call that misdirection. So it's like, look over here, we're giving something away. Meanwhile, what they're not showing you is you are going into a higher tax band. Fiscal drag, yeah.
Fiscal drag is abused.
It's misdirection, isn't it? So we're giving you a little bit of national insurance. Don't mention, all the other stuff. Yeah. The highest, tax bracket we've had since World War II or something. Anyway, bit of politics there. It wasn't a lot of news out there. Front page. It wasn't a lot of news out today. I mean, I did think Supreme's deal was a Supreme deal.
Yes.
If you look at this acquisition of protein manufacturer, SUP. This is what Mike Ashley does a lot, doesn't he? Buys out of administrations. So he's got really good deals. This Food IQ, literally, for 175 grand they bought it for. It's only 18 months old. It's a purpose-built, accredited automated manufacturing facility. Mm. 18 months old, 1.2 million to build. They got it for £175,000.
Smart.
That is good. If you do the equivalent of that on the stock market, that's like almost going to, underprice 10 bagger almost. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, you asked the question, why was it in administration? Probably, cash flow. And therefore, what can Supreme do to actually make it work? But obviously, they have an existing operation to integrate into. So it makes a lot of sense. And it makes a lot of sense for the business generally, in terms of diversification.
They're the cash cow has been the vapes, isn't that a thing? And this regulation, all that's very tricky. So they are, it's a very clever move trying to diversify. This will improve their manufacturing. This is their wellness brand. Yeah. Yeah. Manufacturing capacity by 40%.
Yeah, I think it's very across the portfolio. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. On two angles. First of all, I thought diversification is very good, and that's a very good deal. That is, cracking. You got a bit of kit there worth 1.2 million ploughed into it, and it's literally 175 grand. That's a cracking. And apart from some resource stocks, not a lot going on. There we are. Anything else on the chat before we leave? UK election nailed on. Yeah, 15th to 10th, 34. Halifax says 1.7% nationwide, minus 1.8%. Yeah, UK high price. Exactly. I thought that. Reform. Look at policies. They just keep saying nothing. The politicians. They do say.
Tom showed me this yesterday. There is a very comprehensive manifesto by Reform. You might think they're a party of cranks, but some of this stuff just makes you really think, I can't argue with that.
But it's like almost like it's the old thing, isn't it? It's almost a wasted vote, you think. And
looking at what we've had for the last God knows how long, what vote isn't a wasted vote?
But yeah, saying that, and that's a challenger party like those, Reform or something, they need to convince people that, what do you really want to vote for Labour Conservative? They're very much the same. They're all lying promises. Go for something a bit different. It's not a wasted vote. It'll show them, by the way,
a lot of their policies would address basically fiscal drag, which I think used and abused has been for a long time.
Is YouGov is rallied strongly, but they're having a little sell-off today. Last 2 days sell-off. I think it's pretty much priced in all the electioneering doing. Marvelous stuff, John. Thanks for that. Have a nice weekend. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And we'll speak to you next week. And hopefully the markets will be better. I don't think they will though. It's going to be January. It's not going to be nice.
Who knows? Who knows?
All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
See you later.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.